Chapter 16, Returns.
Astropathic missive. Mode, vital, inquisitorial cipher. Routing, all ports, all stations. Source, Psychana Prime. Endpoint, the Emperor's Talon. Message, unsound.
They granted me a reprieve with several caveats. I would be reporting to Inquisitor Barclay Trenier and Interrogator Morgana Zhao daily. Inquisitor Trenier would have access to my caller's tracking data and control of the failsafe charge. My Psychana file would be sealed under a warrant of the Imperial Guard, keeping prying eyes off of any updates the Inquisition might make over the coming weeks. For all appearances, I was the one under investigation, and only needed to step out of line once more to end my days anywhere. A rogue witch in the Scola wasn't as hive-shattering as a warp witch planting an altar, but it had the potential for mayhem and the loss of valuable resources. Their words, not mine. I had a list of names and faces of those lost or in peril, and I'm sure there were others, now listed as defunct. On a good note, I still had access to Psychana City and the Overhive estate of Lord Kilhaven. Sister Mercina would act as my escort and an interceptor of trouble. The Noble House's security AI was augmented to recognize my safe word and rouse her for action. Mercy had caught me on the Skybridge and canceled my ticket to the Vale. She deserved the term Black Angel rather than Null or Blank or Sister of the Abyss. As I returned to the Overhive, the presence of a friend meant more to me than the comfortable surroundings or the incredible coffee, and I told her so.
I'm better than the coffee, are you sure?
She replied. We changed into loose-fitting scrubwear and were ready to drop from fatigue. It had been a long night for both of us. I fought back a yawn. Do I need to show you?
I don't know.
Mercy suddenly looked lost, as if no one had ever offered to show her anything. She had lived a horribly unsheltered life, and even when she'd been taken in by the sisters, her days had been bereft of anything but discipline and structured feedback. The psychic black hole extended throughout her entire being, as if the sisters' intent was to reinforce the cavity rather than fill it. In my mind, the isolation was abuse, and with her ugly neckwear doing its thing, she deserved every chance at being human. I'm exhausted, but would you stay here with me tonight? Mercy had a suite to herself next door, and I wouldn't have been offended if she'd declined my offer. She smiled.
Do I get to strap you in?
If you want, just don't forget my safe word.
I'm tired too, but I think I can handle you if you get out of line.
You promise? Mercy took the side closest to the door. The gentle pull of her emptiness seemed to tilt the bed in her direction. I soon found my arm wrapped around her, and I couldn't roll away for the rest of the night. In the last hour before dawn, she awoke, terrified and weeping. She'd had a dream, which for a sister of the abyss was apparently beyond rare. She buried her face in my chest until her breathing evened out. An hour before Scola time, I intended to bathe and get dressed, but she trapped my arm. Are you okay? I said. You had a nightmare.
Not a nightmare. I dreamed of my mother when I was young. I'd forgotten her face.
Well, as long as she didn't look like Delia, I think you'll be okay. Mercy grabbed my hair and pulled me into a long, intense kiss. She whispered in my ear,
"Remind me to whip you later."
I kissed her again. It's a date. Breakfast was a multi-layered event. Lord Kilhaven straddled the lines of Noble House and Inquisition, doing his best to bridge the conversation between his family and the long table of interlopers. Mercina and I sat together, somewhere in between, enjoying the flavors set before us and the security of the moment while the questions and updates flowed. Inquisitor Trenier got right down to business.
Parrick, what is your plan for the day?
I don't have a plan as much as a list of names I'd like to cross off.
Parrick, somebody tried to cross you off last night, but the rules of Scola time versus downtime still apply.
Lord Kilhaven didn't need to remind me. My addled brain still hadn't decided who the target had been last night or why the attack had occurred. Our witch doesn't play by Psychana's rules. Will my bodyguard be going with me?
You're not planning on jumping off any more sky bridges?
The Dean had a good point. I would need to be careful when it came to any sort of compulsion spell, especially during Scola time. No bridges or other high places, I promised.
And who's the first name on your list?
Mine. I need to regain my standing in Psychana and find a way to better protect myself from hunters like Commissar Belling. I didn't think Belling had anything to do with the Rogue Witch, but a compulsion spell combined with his bolt pistol was one nightmare I wouldn't want to relive. Trinneer had other concerns.
Be careful what you share. The information you collected last night is considered Hereticus secret and pertinent to an ongoing investigation.
With Lord Kilhaven's family sitting at the table, there was plenty I couldn't cover at that moment. Does Ordo Hereticus have any suspects in mind?
We suspect any and all individuals within the walls of Schola Sicana and aren't taking any chances.
Only I was taking chances. After last night's miss, I should be keeping a low profile, but I needed to light a few beacons to draw the witch out. We couldn't begin to guess at their next steps, but assumed they would be tracking my whereabouts. I could only prepare and hope to bait them into the open. After last night's attack, I began to doubt that the Black Witch was a student. It would never be that easy. As a suspect, Locadio Rink was simply too obvious a choice. Dean Kilhaven, am I free to confront any and all at Sicana?
Only if they confront you first. Remember, you are a Sanctionite, and Messina is there for everyone's protection.
What do the Proctors know about me?
Very little. Beyond Uluxio and I, only Proctors Bertram Chinasa and June Alicante have seen your complete file, as thin as it was. The rest only got the basics and any pertinent updates to your eval reports. They'll all know there was an attack last night, so they might be on edge when they see you today. But that alone should help explain the sister's protection.
Speaking of Proctor Alicante, will I be graced with her presence for an evaluation?
No, I'm handling those for the time being. Proctor Alicante requested a permanent change in coverage after your outburst last month.
It wasn't as if I'd been rude. I'd fought for control, hoping to save both of our lives, and been dumped for the effort. Her loss, I said. Mercy replied in her driest tone.
It certainly was.
I wasn't talking to her.
On that note, Parrick, please join me in the library for a private chat before you return to Sicana.
The dean's wife, Tora, stood first.
Cinder, may I have a quick word with Parrick before you pack him off to war?
The Inquisitor nodded with uncertainty, and I followed his wife into an adjoining room. Seating no more than 20, it was a place for more intimate meals.
Parrick Silver, I don't know how to put this, so I will be blunt. What are you doing to my husband?
I couldn't answer the question. I didn't know how. Tora continued.
Let me be clear. Cinder's not himself. Hasn't been since he retired from the Ordo Hereticus 2 years ago, but he's been with us to mourn the loss of our son. That bloody Schola Sicana is simply a puzzle to keep him occupied and out of trouble. Now, he's become engaged again in a way that will only lead to ruin.
Ruin?
You're a Kilhaven, aren't you? As a mother, I can see it. You carry the Kilhaven charm and that annoyingly unstoppable attitude.
Names matter, but to deny the eyes that glued me in place would have been heresy. I was, but not anymore. She shook her head in annoyance.
He knows, doesn't he?
He's seen my death certificate. She laughed.
You're a ghost. You're haunting him. Haunting, I couldn't think of a better word to describe it. He barely sleeps anymore, not for months. It's as if he's possessed, not by a psycho spell, but by Jovan, and now you.
Jovan?
His son, the one he had to declare as corrupt and terminate during his final Hereticus mission. You don't look like him, not with those painted on eyes, but you have the same noble Kilhaven chin.
I carry the marks of corruption. Sindar knows. They all know. Tora paled at my remark.
That's it. That's what he sees in you. Redemption, and the thought that maybe he could have saved our son. You're leading him toward the abyss.
No high places, I thought. You think redemption is oblivion?
For Hereticus, certainly. For Sicana, maybe. For a man caught in between, only the Emperor knows for sure.
I wasn't sure if she was talking about her husband or me, but she was dead right either way. Lady Kilhaven, what do you want me to do?
Find that Black Witch, end it, and get out. Don't put him in a position to make the wrong decision again.
He didn't make the wrong decision with Jovan.
How could you say that?
I made the same decision when I was marked. My family and my city still exist because of it.
Who did you have to kill?
A beast by the name of Parrick Kilhaven.
I just had breakfast with Parrick Kilhaven.
I shook my head. That was Parrick Silver, survivor extraordinaire with a noble chin.
Does your mother know you're alive?
No, I confessed. Maybe. At that moment, nothing I could have said would have been more hurtful. I could see Tora Kilhaven's eyes glaze over with pity and fear.
Sindar is waiting for you. Please don't break him further.
Lady Tora Kilhaven offered me a token of humanity and a hint about Hereticus in exchange for preserving the sanity of her husband. One could only imagine the conversations my mother must have had before, during, and after my misadventures on Fulcrum 4. I bowed carefully, skirted the main dining room, and swallowed my breakfast a second time on the way up to the library. "Mersina isn't here," I said. Kilhaven sat alone at his corner desk.
"She's waiting in the front hall to begin her escort duty. I have a few things to discuss before you go, starting with my wife's concerns."
"She's worried about your health. She asked that I keep an eye on you."
"I have a daughter in the Medicaid that can do that far better than either of us."
"True. Samara is brilliant, but she can't resurrect the dead."
"One of us can."
"What do you mean?"
"I can give you back your family name."
I'd always been comfortable with the given name Silver, until my family name was officially taken away. Now, I was on my own, and doing everything I could to regain my identity in life. For all that, I wouldn't take advantage of a wounded man that looked upon me like a long-lost son. "Lord Kilhaven, you've already given me more than that. You've given me your trust, and by doing so, I remember who I am."
"Is that enough?"
"With that, the rest is in reach."
"Today is yours, but tomorrow you will take the day off to escort my daughter Sam on her rounds in Sub-Zero."
"Is that a good idea?"
"One thing I've learned about tracking a witch is that you must come at them in reverse. Show them your back until they come out of hiding. They'll hide from an inquisitorial witch hunter, but barter with an unaligned power. As a Sanctionite, you're a free agent."
"What about Sister Mersina? A witch wouldn't come near a Sister of the Abyss if they could help it."
"You'll have to work around her. After the attack last night, it wouldn't make sense to leave you unattended, and frankly, Trinneer would balk at leaving you unleashed."
"Does the Imperial Guard lock on my records mean anything?"
"It's the perfect cover to protect your identity. Eventually, the Imperial Guard will show up to make their own claim to your services. And with Funnel Gault about to ship out, you'll be getting all their attention. Expect it."
"Gault's heading off to war?"
"He'll be assigned to the staff of a Psyker Primaris before heading to the current crusade in the Spur of Orion. He'll be given a promotion and chance to learn how things are done. The command and support structures, the Psyker channels and tactics. Once the Funnel gains the trust of his Primaris, he'll be deemed a full-fledged battle Psyker and deployed to an active front."
The rewards kept coming for Funnel Gault. "The Fulcrum 10th Legion will be joining the fight in the coming year. My brother is a captain in its first division."
"I'm honored to hear of his courage. What is his name?"
"Ramsay Kilhaven."
"Good. Names are important."
"Tara mentioned your son, Jovan. Where did he train?"
"He wasn't a Psyker, but he trained at Psykana, working security and learning to handle the Psykers. He had an easygoing manner with all the witches there, the students and the staff. Too easy, perhaps. He wasn't as afraid of them as he should have been. It made him good at infiltrating their circles, but utterly vulnerable to their touch."
"My brother took a similar attitude with the founding of the 10th. He'd been a natural, a commander in the PDF on his way to the general staff when he landed his commission in the Imperial Guard. They say that the guard casualty rates are kept secret so that the conscripts don't revolt during training. The commissars could only do so much for morale before they ran out of ammunition. What about Commissar Trasker Belling?"
"When it comes to fear, I would say he has plenty to share. When it comes to your future, I'd say learn to coexist.